Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and redeemer. The acclaimed Australian novelist Maurice West wrote a trilogy of novels that were set in the Vatican and which concerned the politics and the lives and the intrigues of the people who live in the Vatican. And not unsurprisingly, this trilogy of novels became known as the Vatican Trilogy. And the first of the novels in the trilogy was titled The Shoes of the Fisherman. And in the title, the reference to fisherman is a reference to one of the Pope's many titles, which declares the Pope to be the fisherman of Christ. And this derives from Peter, from the Gospel accounts of Peter as a fisherman. And we know in the Gospel accounts how Peter was fishing, and one day Jesus called him and told him to become a fisher of people. And so the Pope's title as a fisherman reflects that status that Peter had as the fisherman, because the popes claim their lineage from Peter and from Peter's time in Rome. Peter is traditionally understood to be the first bishop of Rome. The problematic, the difficult side of the popes adopting this title is that it also has a claim of power attached to it. Because the popes claim their what's called apostolic succession, the lineage of the bishops of Rome from Peter, and because there's that passage in the Gospels where Jesus declares Peter to be the rock on which the church will be built, the popes claiming their episcopal descent from Peter has carried with it a claim to leadership over the whole church. And this, of course, has naturally caused some problems over the years. Firstly, with the Eastern churches, where there were senior patriarchs in places like Alexandria and Antioch and Constantinople, who weren't about to bow the knee to the Bishop of Rome. And then subsequently with the Reformation and the emergence of various Protestant denominations, all of whom denied the papal claim to supremacy over the church. So this title of fisherman has a complicated history in the church. And in today's reading, we get a picture of Peter the fisherman. And in that picture, we perhaps are able to explore a different understanding of fishermen and what it means to be a fisher of people. And in that sense, we can understand what it means for us to be people and a community of faith. One that is not about power or privilege, but which is instead about connection and relationship. And we see this in one of the early images in this passage. Peter and other of the disciples have been out all night, as fishermen and women still do to this day. They've been out all night after the catch, and they've come home weary and dispirited because they've caught nothing. But there on the shore is Jesus with a charcoal fire. And on the charcoal fire are fish and bread for breakfast. And of course it is a common thing for fishermen when they come in after a night's work to grab a quick bite, a quick meal before taking their catch off to market. So what Jesus on the shore with a charcoal fire with bread and fish represents is a simple act of hospitality. And in undertaking this act of hospitality, what Jesus is doing is meeting the disciples in their reality, in the reality of their moment. Tired, dispirited, hungry. And Jesus meets them with an act of hospitality, of providing food and warmth, a place to rest. So this gives us a clue about what our identity as fishers of people is truly about. It's about meeting people in their human reality. It's about meeting people where they are and where they live and where they stand in their current circumstances. And what this image in today's passage shows us is that quite often the simplest and most direct and yet most profound way we can do this is simply to offer hospitality. And then we have, before this act of hospitality, we have this moment where the disciples are coming into shore dispirited because they don't have a catch. And Jesus calls out to them and says, throw your net over the other side. And they throw their net over the other side and it becomes full of fish. Now, all too often we misunderstand this image of the net filled with fish in terms of material outcomes. We interpret it as a sign of success. We interpret it as a sign of achievement. And so we all too often think that the church which throws its net over to the other side is the church that will suddenly start attracting lots of people to worship services on Sunday. We'll be able to recruit a whole lot of people and get more backsides on seats. But that's not what this image is about, because this image consists of two components. Firstly, it consists of the disciples being prepared to switch sides, to change what they were doing before and throw the net on the other side. In other words, the disciples were prepared to change, to shift their perspective, to change their mindset, to alter their viewpoint. There's a cartoon that I've seen, perhaps some of you have seen it also, and it's one I'm very fond of. And it consists of two panels. And in the first panel, a minister is saying to the congregation, who wants change? And everyone puts their hand up. And in the second panel, the minister says, who wants to change? And everyone puts their hand down. And this is what this image is telling us. It's not about change in terms of changing our procedures or changing our worship or changing this and that. It's about us being prepared to change. Us being prepared to change our ideas and our thinking and our assumptions about what it means to be a Christian community and what that community looks like. And from that change comes the full net. And the full net is not success and achievement as this is measured by the world, by human standards. It's not a mega church with 30,000 people. It's not a bank account in the millions. Rather, the net full of fish represents an abundant life. A life filled with richness and growth. Filled with nothing less than the abundance that Christ himself said he came to bring us. But that abundance only comes from attitudinal change, from our preparedness to be different. And instead of just longing for change, which is often just a cover for longing for things to be the way they used to be, instead of just longing for change, we in fact practice change. And from that change comes an abundant and a full life. And don't be mistaken, an abundant and a full life is not a life without danger. It's not a life without challenge. It's not a life without risk. It's not a life without sorrow or suffering. It is instead a life that, in the words of Thomas A. Kempis, is the imitation of Christ. A life that is oriented to relationship with God and with one another. That is the abundance we are called into, and that is the abundance we are called to proclaim to the world. The abundance of life that comes from relationship with the God who seeks relationship with us and which we practice in our relationships with one another. And we see that in the third and the final, and I think the critical image in today's reading. And that is that image of Jesus questioning Peter. And three times Jesus says to Peter, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And three times Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." We've seen this pattern before, haven't we? This pattern of Peter being questioned three times. And it occurs on Good Friday, where three times Peter is asked, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" And three times Peter says, "No, I'm not. Nothing to do with that guy." So this pattern occurs after Peter has already denied Jesus. And it occurs in the context of Jesus already knowing that Peter does not love him more than these others, because Peter has specifically and explicitly denied Jesus. And yet, Jesus' response is not condemnation, but a commissioning. "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And that points to the other reality of ourselves as a community of faith. We're not perfect. We're not saints. We're not righteous. We're not some elect of the elite and the sanctified. We're human beings with all that that implies and involves, for good and for bad. And in commissioning Peter, despite knowing of Peter's denial, Jesus is reminding us that God commissions us today, not because we are perfect, but because we are loved. Because God loves us enough to want to be in relationship with us, and loves the world enough for us to want to be in relationship with the world, to meet the world in its human reality and offer hospitality. The commissioning from Jesus is not a sign of our righteousness or our sanctity, and it is certainly not to be used as an excuse to wield power over others. It is instead emblematic of the fact that God loves us. God loves each and every one of us. And God desires that we pattern our lives with one another in the same terms of the relationship that God seeks with all of us. One of the Pope's many titles is Servus Servorum Dei, the servant of the servants of God, which, when you consider the monarchical institution that until relatively recent times the papacy was, sounds kind of odd. But it is also a reminder of all the ways in which we ourselves fail that commission. But it is a reminder too that no matter how often we fail, we will always be recommissioned, because the one thing that does not fail is God's love for us all, is God's longing for us all, and is God's calling to us all that says, follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.